The term Renaissance references either a time period or a rebirth, a time where new attention or ideas are attached to something that has come before. Well, today, in this time period, we sit down with one of the people most responsible for the Renaissance of American jousting in popular culture, and responsible for Renaissance fairs around the country. We discuss the art to be found in jousting and the magnanimous career that's brought him here. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and like every time, we are joined by an incredibly special guest. Today, the guest that we have, you know, we've had a lot of celebrities on the show. We've had a lot of pioneers on the show. I think that you may be the best example of the melding of those worlds. You know, you've enjoyed your own level of success and celebrity, but you have also, just honestly, been the foremost pioneer in what our conversation is going to be about today in the modern lexicon, and that is jousting and everything that comes with it. I am joined today by the owner and captain of the Knights of Valor, Shane Adams. Thanks for joining us, Shane.
Thank you very much for having me, Josh. This is awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, Shane, before we get into all the accoutrement and the cool stuff that has made you yourself over the years, let's start at the beginning. Why jousting? Why this life?
I ask myself that every time I break my hand. Every time, every single time, going through the trials and tribulations of trying to recreate an ancient sport of kings to today's modern day and age. Like, who in the world would do such a thing?
Sure.
Yeah, a little kid growing up in Canada with a dream of wanting to be a knight. And that's fueled my fire since watching a Robin Hood movie when I was super, super young. I can remember sitting on the floor with my grandmother behind me watching an old Errol Flynn Robin Hood movie. And in comes Robin Hood to save the Black Knight at that time. And I used to think, you know, Robin Hood was my idol.
Sure.
But then I saw the Black Knight and them jousting. And it was like, oh, you, why shoot an arrow when you can actually get on a horse and hit somebody with a big stick? So there you go. That's how the dream started.
You know, a word like dream, whenever it comes up on this programming, is something that just sticks with me. Dreams are delicate situations.
They are.
They're things that we keep with us. And I don't know if it's because of a fear of losing them or because without them, we would lose ourselves.
It's funny you say that. In grade 10, you know, I was super young. I was like 5 years old when this happened. Luckily, I grew up on an Arabian horse farm. So right after watching that movie, I raided the tinfoil cabinet and made myself a cardboard helmet and grabbed a garbage can lid of the shield, went out and hopped on one of the horses. Anyway, note to self and for everybody else out there, do not get on an Arabian stallion with a whole bunch of tinfoil if they're not used to it yet. That was my first experience of jumping a big 4-foot fence and taking off through the forest on a quest that I could not stop.
Oh, so you didn't fall off. You made it over the fence.
Oh, I made it over the fence, and we just kept on going and going and going and going. My mom tells a story great, whereas when I was 4, I opened up the barn door. I corralled all the horses inside the barn, went upside the hayloft, opened the door with a piece of baler twine that I rigged up to be able to open the door. The horses were coming out one after the other, and I jumped like a puma off a cliff onto its prey, landing on top of a 4-year-old Arabian stallion. But note to self, I did not lock the gate.
Uh-oh.
The horses took off out the gate, down the driveway, and my mom said she was washing dishes and screamed as she saw her 4-year-old son and her 4-year-old Arabian stallion headed down the driveway and out the road.
So. Well, to steal your language, note to self, the only thing that matters in life is making it over the fence.
Yeah, you have to make it over the fence. And if you don't, you just keep on trying.
I heard that.
So I wrote a poem in grade 10. Uh-huh. And it's funny you said about dreams and how the world wouldn't be anything. It's actually, hold fast to your dreams, for if dreams fade, the earth would be nothing but an endless maze. And that's been really my motto in life. All throughout my entire life, I've concentrated on that poem, and that belief that if you believe in something strong enough, if you believe that you can make it happen, you can make it happen. It's mm-hmm. it's all up here, and it's all the work and the heart and everything pushing through you to be able to succeed in living that dream.
Speaking of making it happen, before we get into what anchors this segment, which is something really cool that you're bringing to Tallahassee, mm-hmm. I would be remiss if, you know, I didn't kind of color it with who you are and what you've been to the world that you live in. There's this thing called the list, right? That,
yes.
The horses come down
yes.
in the jousting arena, for lack of better words. And
yes.
that comes from an antiquated anecdote where men would sign up to be on this thing. And so now that you are on the list, right?
Yes.
You are the list of jousting. You have done something that many people don't get a chance to do, and it smell rare air in their dreams. You bought the very popular Full Metal Jousting to the yes. History Channel in the mid-2000s. How did that come about? How did you get that show?
It's funny. You know, so many people ask me, like, oh, how did you land that network deal? How did
yeah.
you? It's ironically, I already had a network deal before that one even came up, which is, and I walked away from it.
Uh-huh.
And people are like, you walked away from a network deal. Even Pilgrim Films, the people I ended up producing with Craig Piligian, he's the original, you know, creator of the first four Survivors.
UFC, you know, too, right?
The Dana White and Craig Piligian are our partners in The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Top Shot, Dirty Jobs. Like, you know, this guy made Mike Rowe's career. Like, that's the guy who I partnered up with. But before I even met him, I had a deal that I just didn't sign, but it was from National Geographic, and they wanted the story. And it all came to be by myself living my dream of who I am, and a writer for the New York Times contacted me. I can mention her name, Dasha Slater. Mm-hmm. She said that her editor was a big fan of jousting, and I'd been producing jousting shows and competing in jousting tournaments representing Canada all throughout North America. And it was real. Like, what we did was real. So she came out to one of the tournaments and did an interview with a lot of the guys that were there. And she painted me as North America's most dedicated promoter and biggest jousting star.
Absolutely.
That New York Times story ended up becoming the New York Times Sunday Magazine article in the New York Times. And yes, I had a New York Times article written about it. Like, that's okay. That's pretty cool. That's right on. Just a little kid living his dream. Well, on Thursday, before the Sunday release of, my phone was starting to blow up. It was, you know, the people from, you know, NBC, and then Charlie Ebersol called me, you know, Dick Ebersol's son. You know, he called me, and 3 days later, before it even came out, there I am now at the Playboy Mansion in California at the ESPY Award pre-party. I'm walking the red carpet with all these sports stars, and people are, hey, you're the guy from the jousting thing. That's how fast it happened.
You know what?
Just like that.
I didn't even anticipate to spool off into this, but you brought up sports.
Yes.
And jousting has been marketed in the past, you know, 15 or 20 years because of yourself, really,
right,
as an extreme sport, which it is.
Yes.
But it also, to me, as an art and culture guy, also has the elegance and the sophistication of an art. What is that balance to you? Is it sport? Is it art? Or is it both?
It's both.
Hmm.
It truly is both. Now, some people will tell you that they're in it just for the sport. Mm-hmm. The history of it means nothing to them. The horses are just a mode of transportation from point A to point B. But the real romance about what I do for a living and living my dream is that bond between myself and my horse. That team of man and animal working together as a team rather than, you know, riding a bucking horse or a bull, you know, it creates it creates love. Like, it really, really is. And that companionship and that friendship and that bond. And I've had horses, like, I have a horse tattooed on my chest, actually, ironically, the same horse that's on this shirt. we'd go into competitions and he wasn't the easiest horse to ride, but he knew what his job was. He knew what I was trying to do. He'd pin his ears back. He'd show his teeth and he'd throw his weight into the actual hits to make my hit that much more severe than anybody else's. And if I ever got rocked, like meaning I was coming off to the side of the horse, he'd scoop up underneath to save me. Like what kind of sport can you, what kind of like poem, what kind of like relate? Like, it's just the bond. It's amazing.
It seems like almost like the trust that two tandem figure skaters have to have for each other.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. So it's, I rode him for 16 years and was never unhorsed in competition while riding that horse.
Ever.
Ever. Now, did he ever throw me? Heck yeah, he did. Sure. Did he ever do stupid things? For sure he did.
You just brought back a memory because I actually, I used to watch the show, and I'm not just, egging on. It was a cool show, and I know it didn't last long, but I used to watch it. It was my early college years or mid-college years, and I was like, man, this stuff is whacked because it looks like they're actually hitting each other. Oh, but to bring up what you just said, I remember you were always kind of like edgy, but even keeled. But I remember you got hot one time because a guy hit his horse, and I remember that episode, yeah. And so I know what you...
You know, it's so when that happened, when I find they hid it from me.
You remember the episode?
Oh, yeah. I remember the episode. I remember the scenario. No, yeah. I wasn't there when it actually happened. Mm-hmm. When the person struck the horse, and they tried to hide it from me because they were all my horses, and I was under a lot of stress. Like this is a big deal. This was for history. It wasn't just history.
You mean for the History Channel?
Not History Channel, history. It's actually history.
I see.
Yeah, so for history, the network, this was a big money deal. So money didn't come from history. It came from the people that owned history. Mm. So AETN is actually the people that put the money behind the show. When I mean money, it was a motion picture budget. So they put the money, the infrastructure, the cameras, the personnel, the people, the production team, everything that made that show as great as it was not just my own dream. It was everybody behind it. And I remember when filming it, one of the painters, set painters, we had 350 people on set. Like it was a big production. He came over with a t-shirt from his town and offered it to me as a thank you. And I was like, why are you giving me your t-shirt? Like, from your town. He goes, oh, you don't understand the amount of money that you brought in to this entire region. So we thank you. It was filmed in Clinton, Mississippi. And it was really, really special to see everybody come together under that dream. But in that situation, there were so many people and they were trying to keep me calm. I'd go for a run every morning there on the beautiful farm that the production was set on. And when that incident happened and I found out, I had to wait. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't do anything. I wanted to, I wanted to go and step all over that guy, but you can't just do that in the industry.
Oh, you mean the guy who hit the horse?
The guy who hit the horse. Sure. Yeah. I'm not even going to mention his name. It's not worth it. But with that said, they said I couldn't hit him. I couldn't touch him. I couldn't do anything. I said, well, can I defend myself? And they're like, well, absolutely. If he takes a swing at you, then do whatever. So when I walked into that room to have my discussion to kick him off the show, I was already in my mind like Arnold Schwarzenegger in a movie, like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to break your neck and I'm going to grab this guy's hand and he's going to yell. Uh-huh. So all this was going through my mind. And what people don't see is I was stepping on his toe, waiting for him to take a swing. And the production team pushed in one of the coaches, Rod Walker from Australia. They pushed him into the scene and that separated us. But I was, kicking him off the show. He got an easy way out.
Because you could see the passion. Oh, and it wasn't the passion for your ego, for your show.
Defending the horse.
It was for the animal. And that always stuck with me. And so,
right after that, the HBO had a series, a racehorse series called Luck. Dustin Hoffman, I think, was on it.
Oh, sure, where he owned the horse. Yes,
yeah,
I remember.
Okay. Well, they had an incident where I guess it was had a heat wave and I think two horses met their fate mm-hmm. in the production of that show, and HBO, you know, shut it down, and they weren't able to film anymore. It's because of the neglect, I want to say, of using the horses and not using them properly. With that said, the LA Times did a cartoon drawing of all these horses with briefcases lined up in a line for applications for the Full Metal Jousting show because of the way we took care of our horses. So it was like, huh, that was another pat on the back.
A high compliment.
It really, really was. Yeah, it was really great. Yes.
So now we're pulling it a little bit into current times. You know, you've spent your life as a world champion. No, excuse me, the president of the World Championship Jousting Association.
At the start, yes. Know,
the head of the Knights of Valor. You have really just put your sport on your back. And not only as a champion, as this great cosmetic representative, you know, you're 6'4", you've got the hair of Jeff Bridges, the beard of Zeus, you know, you look the part.
I just shaved it. It was down here. Seriously, it was.
You look the part, but not only do you look the part, you are the part. And that brings me to what's coming to town. This isn't a passion that has just been something, like I said, for your career or your ego. It's about education and entertainment and community. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect from something that you have been bringing all over the country that will land in Tallahassee, which is the Renaissance Fair.
For many years, I've been trying to find a place to showcase my art, mm-hmm. to showcase my talents. And being a Canadian, growing up and living in Canada, I could not fuel the fire that the sport of jousting needed. People thought, you know, oh, well, you know, cut your hair, get a real job, you know, like all this sort of stuff. I mean, my dad used to say that to me all the time. I went from being scouted for the Boston Bruins to, you know, playing hockey to, you know, to ending up in a traffic accident, which eliminated my hockey career, which then also then made me focus more on what my childhood dream really was. And that was the jousting and everything that went with it. And all of a sudden realized
the other circus element,
And yeah. Growing up, what little kid does not fantasize or dream about running away with the circus? You know, like, I'm going to run away with the circus. And I tell my partner all the time, I tell her, you know, Sarah, like, I want to have a medieval circus. I want to have a Cirque du Medieval, you know, like, that's what I want. And she's like, okay, you know, she follows things. She's an entertainer herself too. So, you know, being able to go from living my childhood dream of jousting and becoming a world champion and having my TV show represented around the world and, you know, number one in 65 countries. The
1.9 million views that first episode.
The Guardian, in England, you know, recognizes the number one show of the year. And it's so amazing, but yet it wasn't enough. You know, there it is. You'd think that was it for me. You know, that was the cherry on the top of my jousting career. But now I want to be able to bring my dream to other people. And after every show I've done around the world, the eyes of the children, you know, whether it be a boy or a little girl, you know, just opening up on realizing that dreams can come true. It doesn't matter if you want to be a knight or, you know, the president of the United States. If you want something bad enough, just go out there and grab it. You know, if you reach for the stars, and if you reach high enough, the stars will reach back for you.
When does your Renaissance Fair land on Tallahassee?
So the Renaissance Fair happens next weekend, March 21st and 22nd. I am bringing my medieval circus right here to Tallahassee.
And it will be at the North Florida Fairgrounds.
North Florida Fairgrounds in the tram parking lot. I've got five to 7 acres there that I'm going to turn into a step back in time. When people come up to the gates, they're going to see a castle facade. They're going to, you know, get their tickets scanned. And as soon as they come through those gates, they're transported back in time. You know, whether it be a historical age or an age of fantasy, every type of element can exist. And you can be a barbarian. You can be a medieval knight. You can be a Viking.
What are the falcon people?
You can be a falcon. We have falcons there.
But so what are the people that catch the falcons? A falconer.
Yes, we have a falconer there coming as well. So we have a trebuchet sitting there at the fairgrounds right now. And I'm thinking about launching watermelons in the traffic just to get media there. Like, how do you explain that? My car was hit by a watermelon launched by a trebuchet.
Shane Adams is in town.
That's right. Shane Adams' medieval circus, the North Florida Renaissance Fair, is here in Tallahassee.
I will say in closing, Shane, you did not knock me off my horse, but you did knock me off of my seat and out of my socks with this interview today. I appreciate you much for joining us, and I appreciate you at home for joining us for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.